high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the cosmos. All these time zones, all of them covered one way or the other. That's quite a statement to make for a radio program. All the time zones covered one way or the other. And that's true. This is Coast to Coast AM weekend version. I'm Art Bell. Honored to be escorting you through this great weekend. And I love these messages from the internet. They come up on Past Blast. If you're on our website, you can send one off to me. And this is Ross in Salt Lake City, Utah, saying, getting close to the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. I am scared. Armageddon approaches. I don't know why it hit me. Just short and sweet, the way a lot of good messages are. Getting closer to the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. I am scared. Armageddon approaches. Oh, gee. The photograph on my webcam this night is of the USS San Francisco. If you haven't seen it yet, this is the officially released version of what happened to the San Francisco when she plowed into a mountain, you recall, shortly after the tsunami. And an underwater mountain. And you have to wonder how it made it back. I guess a testament to airtight doors, locking doors, that kind of thing. Anyway, take a look. The damage is extensive indeed. If it was your car, they'd probably total it. And they probably will total it. And the insurance company will open their wallets out there, ladies and gentlemen. That would be you. There's finally, what I consider to be good news from Iraq. It is good news. Iraqis apparently embraced democracy in large numbers. Actually, numbers that we could never turn out. 57% of Iraqis were forecast to vote, and they were saying the turnout was perhaps beyond that. That even more Iraqis turned out than 57%. Now, I would say that's pretty damn good. Here in the heart of democracy, where we all now pretty much take it for granted, why we just were so, I don't know, it's just so something we take for granted. Something you should never do with freedom and democracy, but we do, and so not as many go to the polls, but boy, a minimum of near 60%, or maybe when the final numbers get in, even better. Pretty good, I would say. A British C-130 military transport plane crashed Sunday north of Baghdad. Scattered wreckage over a very large area. At least 10 troops were killed. Britain's Press Association News Agency says crash occurred at about 5:25 p.m., about 20 miles northwest of Baghdad. President Bush called Sunday's elections in Iraq a success and promised the U.S. will continue trying to prepare Iraqis to secure their own country. Quote, the world is hearing the voice of freedom from the center of the Middle East, end quote. And it is an achievement when you think about it. An election in the middle of the Middle East. How unlikely is that? The U.S. occupation authority in Iraq was unable to keep track of about $9 billion it transferred to government ministries. It just, well, it lacked financial controls, and this $9 billion just administrative something or another's. With very little time left before his organs would likely fail, a U.S. Marine received a new liver Sunday for a mysterious ailment that doctors said would kill him if he didn't get a transplant. Doctors operated on Lance Corporal Chris LeBeau, who had been in a coma and on life support for nearly 12 hours Sunday after an unidentified donor from New Mexico was found late Saturday night in the nick of time. About 102 customers had no electricity Sunday in Georgia. You may have seen the pictures on CNN of an ice storm there, and of course cars weren't going anywhere and it was a mess, and 120 customers had no electricity. A local phone giant, SBC, get this, has agreed to acquire AT&T. Good old AT&T has now itself been acquired. Can you believe it? It's like it's like the last. I mean, AT&T, they are now acquired by SBC, about $16 billion to get that job done. You may recall last night, my guest last night, and the weather, right? In a moment, I have a story that came in today, literally today, that backs up exactly what he was saying. In fact, if you heard last night's show and did a little investigation on your own, what you are about to hear is going to stand your hair right on end. Ordinary. Now, bearing in mind what my guest had to say last night, this will blow you away. This is from a staff reporter on the India Daily, and it's dated January 30th. All right? Headline is, in every country of the world, all of a sudden, the weather forecasting computer models are failing. Human or extraterrestrial hand in weather manipulation. Hello? Over the past years, China has installed 74 sets of the world's advanced Doppler weather radar, with 87% put into operation. But in the last year, all of a sudden, the weather forecasting computer models have failed so badly that China has now decided to install 30 more of the devices rapidly this year, with a satellite launch later this year expected to start its own operations soon. Now, this is, it's the same story echoed in every part of the world, from India to America. Weather forecasting models are just failing. Failing. And the variation patterns are so obvious that forecasters all over the world are scratching their heads. The world is experiencing some extreme weather, indeed, and weather forecasters in all parts of the world are just failing for reasons unknown to all. In India, for example, scientists were astonished at the National Center for Medium-Range Weather Forecasting. They were perplexed by the deviations of the weather from that predicted by the Doppler reports. In other words, the radar, the Doppler is actually saying this is about to happen, but then it doesn't. Sound familiar? In Russia, authorities are just as perplexed with the bizarre patterns of snowfall. In America, the weather forecasters are similarly perplexed in their inability to tell people what's going to happen the next day. The reason hurricanes and typhoons all over the world have taken irregular patterns and unpredictable paths, defying all established computer models. In India, China, Africa, Europe, all over the world, the same story is repeating. In every country, the meteorologists are thinking that those anomalies are just present in their region. But it is global and increasing every day. The intensity of the storms and the paths all over the world, especially in America's Florida and Southeast, including the Gulf of Mexico, are just plain bizarre. The Bureau of Meteorology, Australian government, is also perplexed by what's going on. Another interesting phenomena that is becoming very obvious is that many of the storms all over the world last year went into merry-go-round patterns and picked up speed and force before they made landfall. Is all of this putting the same chill down your spine? It is mine. There's a possibility that massive weather manipulation experimentation is taking place, which is totally classified. Military research projects involving weather manipulation is nothing new. Many countries are racing toward achieving the capability. So there you have it. That is the bulk of the story. You can read the whole thing if you want from the India Daily. And it's dated today, January 30th. I would say, after last night's guest, who I thought was a brave man stepping out on an issue that a lot of people would go with just another crazy thing on coast to coast. Well, let me tell you, a lot of so-called crazy things on Coast to Coast AM happen to turn out to be absolutely true. You just hear them first here, and that's not to say everything you hear here is necessarily true or is going to come to pass. But I think it's worth calling when it does, particularly the next day. Now, this caught my attention. This is from last week's news, and I know that a lot of you will have heard this, but it certainly caught my attention. Lansing, Michigan. A Michigan healthcare company has fired four of its employees for refusing to take a test to determine whether they smoke cigarettes. The company enacted a new policy this month, allowing workers to be fired if they smoke, even if that smoking takes place after hours or even at home. Now, this is going too far. I guess, in my opinion, I guess that legally, if you take on employment with an employer and you sign something that says, I will not smoke. As long as I work for employer X, I will not smoke. Will not smoke at home, will not smoke at work, will not take a puff of a cigar if a neighbor's baby is born. Nothing. If you put your John Hancock down there, then you deserve whatever you get, because you have made a bargain, and you must adhere to it. However, the entire concept of firing people for what they do at home, in the privacy of their own castle, their American castle, is absolutely abhorrent to me, and I'm sure many of you as well, absolutely abhorrent. And America has turned a dangerous corner and is sliding down a very slippery slope indeed. From the Independent UK, the headline is, Global warming is twice as bad as previously thought. Global warming may be twice as catastrophic as previously thought, flooding settlements on the British coast and turning the interior into an unrecognizable tropical landscape, the world's biggest study of climate change now shows. Researchers from some of Britain's leading universities in computer modeling to predict that under the worst-case scenario, London would be underwater and winters banished to history as the average temperatures in the United Kingdom soar to 20 degrees centigrade higher than at present. That's 20 degrees centigrade than higher than at present. Can you imagine that? Globally, average temperatures could reach 11 degrees centigrade greater than today. That would be all over the world, folks. Double the rise predicted by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. The international body set up to investigate global warming. Such high temperatures would melt most of the polar ice caps and the mountain glaciers, raising sea levels by more than 20 feet. Can you imagine that? Sea levels up by more than 20 feet. Now, that's looking like a more serious story every moment, isn't it? 20 feet. Now, what would 20 feet of sea level do to, for example, New Orleans? A lot of islands. Here's a headline that I felt I should share with you. The headline is, and again, so you know the source, this comes from the BBC. It seems like I have to get this kind of news from the BBC. It doesn't run on American press. Now, why would that be? Headline, bird flu passed between humans. This is something to look out for. Scientists have said that a woman who died of bird flu probably contracted the disease from her daughter. The researchers at the Thai Ministry of Public Health warn it is likely there will be more cases where the virus is passed from human to human. Professor John Oxford, a leading UK expert, said the virus had broken down the final door, that's in quotes, the final door, which prevented it from being spread between people. The study is published in the New England Journal of Medicine. In 2004, avian flu infected at least 44 people in 8 South Asian countries, killing 32. Now, let's think about that. It infected 44 people, and 32 of them are dead. So the percentage of fatalities would be about, if you get this, 75%. 75% of those who get this are going to die. Until the late 1920s, it had not been thought that the virus strain H5N1 could spread to humans. Once it did, scientists began to fear it could then be spread between people. In a worst-case scenario, they suggested the virus could combine with a human flu virus if people were simultaneously infected with both. In other words, this avian thing gets together or infects somebody who's got regular flu. The viruses then combine, and the bird flu then is spread as easily as your average flu. Remember, a 75% mortality rate. Here's another headline for you. Arctic ozone may drop to new low. The coming weeks could bring the most severe thinning of the ozone layer over northern Europe since recording of all this even began. Again, this is the BBC Environment correspondent writing this. The stratosphere, where the ozone layer lies, has seen its coldest winter for 50 years. There have also been an unusually large number of clouds. These factors hasten the rate at which man-made chemicals destroy ozone. So, the conditions, weather-wise, we are now witnessing resemble and even surpass the conditions of the 1999-2000 season, when the worst ozone loss to date was observed. Ozone is a molecule that is composed of three oxygen atoms. It is responsible for filtering out harmful ultraviolet radiation from the sun. And as you know, it is now serious enough, for example, in Australia, that the school children are required to wear headgear when they're on the way to school. And this also caught my attention. Mad cow disease found in goat. Great. Mad cow found in goat. A French goat has apparently indeed tested positive for mad cow disease, the first animal in the world other than a cow to have this bovine spongiform encephalitis, whatever. The European Commission says further testing is going to be done to see if the incident is an isolated one. The animal, which was slaughtered in 2002, was initially thought to have scrapie, a similar brain-wasting condition sometimes seen in goats, but British scientists now say the disease, in fact, has been confirmed to be BSE. More than 100 people in the UK have died from VCJD, the human form of BSE, after eating tainted beef. There are three French physicists who say they have now figured out how UFO engines work. This came from Whitley Strieber's website, Unknown Country. They claim they use a combination of electromagnetic and nuclear power, and they've built a model UFO engine at the French Astronomical Observatory in Marseille. Jean-Pierre Petit, Claude Bohrer, and Maurice Vinton call their engine, I'll never pronounce that. Say anyway, it'll produce over 1,000,000 watts of energy. One of its secrets is it can suppress shock waves, which occur naturally in the air and slow down any flying object. French science has a much more open attitude toward UFOs than do similar institutions here in the U.S. For instance, the head of the French UFO group GAPON, while remaining in his position as head of the astronomy department of the French equivalent of NASA, this would not be possible in the U.S. So they think that they have created, well, a UFO engine. So there you have it. Wildcard Line, you are on the air. Good morning.
He's going to the break first. Ain't nobody calling in. That's what he's doing.
What now? I'm talking to you. You're on the air. This is it. What are you talking about break? There's no break. The break's about a minute away, so you got to talk fast.
Hey, Art.
Hey, yes.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
I'm sorry, sir. Look here, we're down here in Georgia, and
yes, down where the ice came.
Yes, and we weren't supposed to get this stuff. It was supposed to only go 50 miles north of us. And guess what? We woke up Saturday morning, and we got it. We got it good.
Yes. It fits right in with some of this weird weather not happening where it's supposed to happen story, right?
That's right. Hey, did you get any word from your electronics people yet from coming back from the trade show at Las Vegas?
A consumer electronics show?
Yes. Is Blu-ray coming out, or Blue Laser?
Oh, Blue Laser. It's not out yet, but I'm certainly looking forward to it. It's going to be revolutionizing everything we can do on DVD, including getting high definition finally to DVD. From the high desert in the middle of the night where we do business, this is Coast to Coast AM.
Daddy was a cop on the east side of Chicago, back in the USA, back in the bad old days. In the heat of a summer night, in the land of the dollar bill, when the town of Chicago died, talk about it still. When a man named Al Capone tried to make that town his own, and he called his gang to war with the forces of the law, I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died.
You get a shiver in the dark, it's raining in the fog, but meantime, sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring. Well, now you step inside, but you don't see too many faces. In other places, but the horns, they blowing that sound way on down south. Way on down south, London town.
All right, now, you all listen very carefully. The numbers we use here on the weekend are a little different. Here they are.
To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Here nightly at your service. Good morning, everybody. We're going to go back to open lines for the next segment. Then, at the top of the hour, we host Patrick Heron. And I believe he's coming to us all the way from Dublin, Ireland. So that'll be interesting. And he's got a lot of interesting stuff to say about the Nephilim. Have you? And I've certainly been very curious about the Nephilim. So I think that it is his view that they built the pyramid. Boy, would he have a fight with Zahiawas. Anyway, coming at the top of the hour, open lines, twits now and then. To the line reserved for those who are calling for a first time ever. A noble effort indeed. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Okay. All right. This is Paul in Fremont.
Hello, Paul.
I work as a security guard out here in California, and I don't always get to hear all your show. And concerning your show last night on the weather phenomena.
Yes.
This afternoon after I got to work, I looked up, and lo and behold, I saw a cloud formation that was a dead ringer for a carpenter square.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such a perfect right angle
Well, you've got to admit
it. Really stood out.
You've got to admit that with what he said last night, and then the story I just read you that broke today. Gee, it seems like there is a connection, huh?
It's a little too freaky, yeah. And
by the way, you're a security guard. You said in every science fiction movie I have ever seen, sir. Security guards are sitting there usually at a desk, you know, with a pair of headphones over their ears so they can't hear a damn thing because they're listening to a show like this, and that's how they get eaten by monsters.
Well, I never walk into dark rooms, and I never wear headphones when I'm walking around.
So. Is that right? Okay.
There's one other thing, too. I'm also an amateur radio operator.
Oh, you are?
Yes, sir, and I've noticed that, the other day I was listening on 10 meters, and there's the band's been dead for months.
Mm-hmm.
But on 28.4, for about 3.5-4 minutes, there was a very distinct warbling sound.
Yes.
And it reminded me, when I was in the Marine Corps, of radio jamming.
Well, I don't know whether you listen on any of the lower frequencies, but I'm telling you, and I've been telling everybody else, something is woefully wrong with the ionosphere. By 7 o'clock at night, local time, in whatever time zone you reside in, 75 meters is just dead for a short skip. It's gone. It's like the ionosphere said, that's it.
No, yeah, I know. I've heard you talk about that before, and I've checked it out, and you're right. It's like somebody hits a switch.
I know. Just actually exactly like somebody just hit a switch. Maybe they did. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. There's something odd going on up there. I don't know. I really don't know what it's all about. Could be harp, or it could be harp-like, or it could be some other phenomena associated with degradation of some of the atmospheric layers that we have. But something is going on. I can't speak for all the layers. There are scientists who do that. I just read you a little bit about the ozone layer. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, the story about, I looked up the story on the bird flu virus, and it is indeed very fresh, the story about the increasing deaths and from BBC.
Yes, and it would appear as though the mortality rate is nigh on to 75%. Now, should that ever get loose and be airborne as the regular flu is, well, you can imagine the horror.
It does have me a little concerned, Art.
Me too. And if that actually were to break out, I think I mentioned this to somebody a few weeks ago, and I think a lot of people would have to do this, there would be no help for it unless they've got an effective vaccine other than isolating yourself from the rest of the world for a period of time. Otherwise, that's it. 3 out of 4 of us would be toast.
They need to do the Andromeda strain setup.
Well, the Andromeda strain, of course, was from elsewhere. This one's homebrew.
I think it's our own. Well, the other thing, the thing that really started to get me worried was last fall when there was all of a sudden a shortage of flu vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't help but think that this was somehow the one punch of a 1-2 punch against the world's population.
Well, it could be, sir. What is I think bothered me is that for months now, we've been reading stories of scientists warning us that the bird flu is going to jump, or is likely to jump, and then is likely to be combined with the flu. That's pretty good stuff, worthy of, you know, Ed Dames or any other person who would have the ability to actually look into the future. In other words, how do scientists know this is going to happen? That's what's worried. It's like they're writing the stories as though they know it's going to happen. Although I guess it is the job of science to look at what is probable and what dangers we might face. I don't know. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Hello.
Stan from Brooklyn.
I can hear the Brooklyn in you, yes.
Great. Listen, first, before I get to the topic, I just want to tell you how I got turned on to your show. This must have been about 7 years ago. Your old friend Curtis, he kept on talking about that Looney Kazooney from Parts Unknown.
Yes.
And I had to find out what it was. So,
good old Curtis,
I've been turned on ever since.
You know, I actually got an opportunity to get to New York and put my hands around Curtis's neck. I just didn't have the willpower to do what I should have done.
Anyway, listen, I imagine you got a large response about the your first guest last night when he was talking about the United States is going to get whacked because of its warmongering ways.
Yes.
Well, you know, I just like to ask why people like this never mention the tyrants that we seem to overthrow. How come they never say they're going to get whacked?
Isn't that
because of them? You know?
Isn't that a good point? I mean, the Saddam Husseins, the leaders of Cambodia, where the killing fields were. Yes, why not name some of those? Why is it always the U.S. and its policies?
Right. I mean, this guy murdered close to a million people.
Yeah, it's a very good point, sir. I take your point. There are those who just think we are the most evil thing that the world has ever seen, the U.S. We're not. There are many, many, many worse than we are. That is not to say we are not somewhat warlike people. We are. We are. The U.S. has generally been involved in one conflict or another, haven't we? So we are as warlike as any other, but we are not as bad as many, would be the way to put it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. This is Jamie from California.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago, I brought your attention to a chemical that our U.S. government was testing called the love potion. Do you remember?
Oh, yes. Yes, actually, you know, when you called, I quickly went to the internet, found the article in question, I think it was on Drudge, and read it to the audience. This is the one where we were going to develop something to toss on the Iraqis, ostensibly, which would cause them to look at each other, that is, soldier to soldier, and be so enamored with the guy next to you that you'd forget about war and
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was.
Well, we soon forget that not too long ago we were inundated with these photos that were taken of Iraqi prisoners. You know, well, obviously everybody kind of knows. And who's to say that this has not already been tested? And that this was part of.
Well, most of those photographs that you saw, though, were things that were done at gunpoint. So I doubt it was a result of a drug. However, I didn't even know they had anything that would do that. I mean, what do they do? Are they dropping a little blue pill or something? Or what did they contemplate doing? What could possibly... That laughter came from the other room. What? Well, I guess I'll not pursue that. International line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. I was calling about the fan club here up in Nova Scotia.
What fan club?
Well, it's a small fan club we have here in the community. And we have some few things that we wanted to get to you because we realize, you know, you're a little bit concerned about what's going on with the Earth and stuff. Are you aware of the mini-dome?
Mini-dome, yes.
It's like a protective covering. I haven't heard an ad run until now on the radio, but it's a thing that we have. We made a week our own, and we also make suits. They protect you from any kind of frequency. They're spectrum suits. They protect you from any kind of energy. And we have one for you and Ramona and even a mini candle for your cats. Yeah, we were wondering. We've been trying to get a hold of you by email, but we haven't been able to. So we were wondering.
All right, here's how to get a hold of you. Now, rest. ArtBell@mindspring.com.
ArtBell, and what should you? What would you want in the subject so that you would pick it out?
Dome protection.
Dome protection. Okay.
Yes, all right.
We'll send you an email.
All right, buddy. Take care. I don't know. It brings a mental picture of four little mini domes for our furred friends. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Art.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Matt from Reno.
Yes, Matt.
The high desert up here. I was calling about the avian flu.
Yes.
And I do believe that it's a...
You're going to have to speak good and close to your phone. That's much
better.
Yes. Everybody who calls should know, if you take a phone and you put it down by your chin, that's the way it sounds. If your lips are touching it, that's how it sounds. So, there you go.
All right. Sorry. Excuse me there.
It's all right.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the avian flu and the possibility that's, you know, government plot and all that type of thing.
Well,
type any, of SARS.
Any serious disease we get, there's always a group of people who think it was stewed up in some lab somewhere, and who's to know if they're wrong?
Well, I base my opinion on a book I read called The X Virus by Mark Ryan, who's now a World Health Organization scientist.
Yes.
He wrote a book in 1992 called The X Virus.
And he contends what?
Well, they have a virus in there that's mentioned. It's called ARDS, which is acute respiratory distress syndrome, which is sounds just like SARS. But if you read in the line in between the lines in the scientific research that was done,
yes,
they tested AIDS. They took a recombination of AIDS, the like sped up version of the time frame that retrovirus takes to
yes.
appear.
Yes.
And the doctor mentioned in the book, this is all, verbatim in a book I read, and he said that he warned that this would emerge somewhere in the populations of Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, just based on those little ideas.
Well, it seems like just about everything emerges someplace in Asia, doesn't it? And I've been told that one of the reasons for that is that the Asians work so closely with slaughter many animals and eat many animals that we don't. That may or may not be the case. Certainly the population density in Asia is far greater than ours, so there could be something to that. But most of these things do seem to emerge, don't they, from Asia. Wildcard Line, you're on the air, top of the morning.
Hi.
Turn your radio off, please. That's first.
Okay. This is Janice calling.
Janice, turn your radio off.
Yes.
That's good. All right, now proceed.
Art, when you had the harp experiment on last Sunday night?
Yes.
And were you aware that on some of the radio stations we lost you?
No, I wasn't aware of that, but sometimes yes. there are radio stations that have planned maintenance that occurs at night, and so they go off.
Well,
others perhaps say, oh, my God, he's going to talk about a harp.
Uh-huh.
And so they go.
And I called them. And I.
What did they say?
And the phone rang and rang and rang, and then this young man answered, and I said, you have a problem. I said, Art Bell's not on the air.
Yeah.
And they said, and the young man, there was dead silence, and the man said, yes. And I said, well, can you tell me how long you're going to be off the air? And he said, probably at least an hour. And I said, oh, you were sabotaged because of harp? And he said, probably. And I said, well, I guess I'll just go to bed then. So I went on to bed and went to sleep, and I missed your show on harp.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but probably you slept better. Because if you had heard the show, you might have had trouble sleeping. Thank you very much. No, there are, it's not all a secret plan. It's not all conspiracy. Occasionally, stations do have planned maintenance, and so they will shut off, and you will hear nothing but static. Now, if you have a good radio, a radio that hears well in the nighttime and the conditions allow for it, you can tune around the dial, and inevitably, because we are so prolific in the nighttime, you will find us somewhere else. So don't just give up and go to bed unless you want a good night's rest and you don't want to hear a subject like harp. In which case, like that young lady, perhaps you sleep well. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art?
Yes.
Hi, it's Diana from California.
Hi.
Hi. I have an idea about the weather situation that maybe because of crop circles being linked to electromagnetic energy, that either they're trying to tell us something by the crop circles that this is happening, or that the crop circles are telling us that they're doing it. And now I'm thinking that maybe the chemtrails is our government trying to protect us from something the aliens might be doing.
Well, you can just really let your imagination run wild, can't you?
Doesn't that sound kind of...
I don't know.
Interesting?
Well, yes, it does. It sounds interesting. However, imaginative. In other words, we don't really have the facts. We don't really know what crop circles are. We don't really know what electromagnetic energy may be getting used by various entities and or / governments, whatever. We can pretty well imagine there is something going on, but imagining a connection between things that we don't know the basis of in the first place is, well, imaginative. International Line, you're on the air.
Thank you.
Turn your radio off, please.
I just did.
Yes, very good. Where are you?
Where am I?
Yes.
I'm in Utah.
Utah. Unfortunately, sir, you've called our international line reserved for those outside the country. First-time caller line, you're on the air, also needing to turn your radio off. Hello?
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello. I was disappointed yesterday. You had the Michael Horn
yes.
on the radio.
That's right.
And
turn your radio all the way off, please.
And he was talking to... he was talking about Bailey Myers.
Oh, yes.
Now, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. Every time you would talk about EFB or anything like that, I would call and research it. And in this case, I checked into Billy Myers about his ex-wife denouncing him, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
and I find it to be a hoax. And then I was on the phone, and yet you didn't take any calls. Was that
when we have a guest who's only on for 1 hour, sir, which was the case with Michael Horn last night, mm-hmm. there's not time to take calls. We do that with, you know, our three-hour guests, and then a couple of hours of discussion or whatever, hour and a half, and then we go to the phones. But when we have a very short guest on like that, we don't have time to take calls. That's all.
All right. I was really charged up because I really wanted to challenge Mr. Horn.
Well, then in that case, you should have been pleased when I think provided
indeed.
Him with a very stiff challenge at the
Absolutely.
Bottom of the first hour there.
Yes, in reference to the underground video. Nevertheless, Mr. Bill, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Take care. By the way, that underground video, I got an email from somebody today who said, you know, that was Cal Korf. Beginning to end, it was Cal Korf. Now, I have no way of knowing if that is true. Cal Korf is a debunker. Not really a skeptic. He might use the word skeptic, but really, Cal Korf is a debunker. I mean, he is as fervently on the other side of things as those who suggest the incredible. I mean, he's just totally on the other side, and no matter what it is, if it is associated with anything paranormal, ufology, any of the rest of it, he is fervently opposed to it. And that would be the word debunker. That's Cal Korf, all right. Oh, Cal. Anyway, we're going to break here. When we come back, we're going all the way across this country and across the Atlantic to Ireland. Stay right where you are.
You didn't